Appreciate the presence of each and every one. So thankful for being able to be together, for the visitors that we have with us. Certainly thankful for you being here, for Bobby's mom and dad, for others of the visitors, from those at Hillside that are with us. We're thankful for you. And last but not least, certainly we're thankful for each and every member of the church here at East Albertville. Sorry for those that are sick, as always. Of course, Sister Mathis having a reoccurrence of her problem. And sorry for Sister Sutton. I know she was talking about the possibilities of going home one day this week, but I guess that's going to be postponed for some time. So let's remember all of them in our prayers. For the many that made reference to a lesson that I presented back in the spring on Easter, and then for the lesson last week that several made mention of concerning the lesson on Christmas, if you're wondering if there's going to be a lesson on New Year's, I'm not going to disappoint you. You know, how many times have you been wished a Happy New Year's over the past week? And if you're like me, you've heard these words a few times, at least. And while it is a nice sentiment, yet wishing for it doesn't make it happen, does it? Have you ever stopped to consider what it would take to make and actually have a Happy New Year? In fact, do we realize that apart from God Himself, of course, the one person who has the most control over how happy the coming year will be is the person that we see when we stand and look at ourselves in the mirror? What can you and what can I do to make a Happy New Year? I believe that the Scriptures gives us some suggestions, and it's what I want to call in our lesson this morning, some spiritual keys to a Happy New Year. One of those keys, I think, certainly is found in serving God and serving others. After all, we know that Jesus taught that happiness is found in sharing. After he had washed the disciples' feet, you recall in John chapter 13, he said in verse 15, "I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." And then it's in verse 17 that he says, "If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." And also it was the wise man who said in Proverbs 14 and in verse 21, "He who has mercy on the poor, happy is he." So to determine to serve God above all and others second can truly be a key to us having a Happy New Year. Remember the statement that Joshua made in the close of his address to the children of Israel? He said in Joshua chapter 24, verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Notice the number of times that we read in those two verses that statement, serve the Lord. Serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Serve the Lord, and as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's in Hebrews chapter 12 that we find in verse 28, it says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." So our service unto God is a service that needs to be rendered with reverence. It needs to be rendered with godly fear. And in Mark chapter 12, it's in verse 29 that we begin that Jesus answered him. The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus made the statement, There is no other commandment greater than these. So doesn't it follow that in order for us to have a happy new year, that truly if we will just stay within range of these two commandments, that we will have a happy new year? To serve the Lord and to serve him in the capacity that Jesus talks about here, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. That's every avenue of us as a human being. There is no other aspect. There's no other characteristic of us as a human being but what those four things do not cover. It is that we're to serve the Lord, that we're to love the Lord with every aspect, every fiber of our being, every aspect of our lives. And then to also realize that that is not the finish. The finish of it is the adding of the second, to love our neighbor. And we're given the exact guideline as to how that love is manifested. As we're to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. We know how we love ourselves. We know the things that we do for ourselves. We know the things that we wouldn't do to ourselves. So those are the guidelines by which we go about in showing love for our neighbor. So truly, I believe one of the keys, maybe the very first key that we need to always keep in mind, is that we need to serve God and we need to serve others. Another spiritual key is to control our thoughts. You know, we can change our lives by changing our attitudes. Attitudes play so much in our everyday lives. And attitudes can form things that will determine our actions in the days ahead, in the future. So attitudes are very important, and we are the ones that are responsible for the forming of the attitudes that we have. We're told that we are what we think about. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So there is a simple place where we need to begin. What is it in the course of the average day that we think about the most? These are the things that no doubt are going to develop and be our attitudes. If we think happy, wholesome thoughts, then we will be happy. You know, there's a secret to happiness that Paul shares with us over in Philippians chapter 4. It's in verse 8. That he says, Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Notice the things that he said that we need to think on. Think on things that are true, things that are noble. I think the King James Version uses the word honest. And really, that's not a real sufficient translation of the word to give us the understanding of what is really being said by the Holy Spirit. This word noble, or this word honest, is to think upon those things that are worthy of reputation. Think upon these things, and this word here that's translated noble or honest, it's nowhere else found in the New Testament. So that shows us it's a unique word with a somewhat unique meaning. So the idea is to think upon those things that are worthy to be thought upon. Those things that have such a reputation that if we think upon these things, then, as he says, we will have then that peace of God. Think upon things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are of good report. We need, too, to submit every thought to the obedience of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it's in verse 4 that says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." There again, gets us back to the point that we made earlier in the beginning of our lesson. And that is that person that we look at in the mirror, that's the person that determines not only the things that we think upon, but that's the person that determines whether or not every thought that he has is going to be brought in subjection, in obedience to that of Christ. We're the ones that are responsible. No one else, just ourselves. So truly, we need to control our thoughts. And the better we do that, the better chances we'll have of having a happy new year. Then too, another key to having a happy new year is avoid sin and the guilt that goes with it. You know, sin promises pleasure, but it never delivers what it promises. While it promises pleasure, it delivers misery. When David was entangled in sin, he sort of describes it this way. In Psalms 38 and verse 4, listen to what he says. "There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor any health in my bones because of my sin. My iniquities have gone over my head. Like a heavy burden, they are heavy for me." You see, sin promises pleasure, but instead, it brings misery. We need to strive this year to live free from sin. In 1 Peter chapter 3, is as good, call it a recipe or instructions for a good year, or even for that matter, for a good life. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter 3, beginning with verse 10. "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Can it be said any better? Can it be said any plainer than what Peter has said here? If we would love life and see good days, is that not what all of us desire, each and every one of us in our lives? Is to be able to love life and to be able to see good days? Then here is how it's done. Here's what we must do. Let's refrain our tongue from evil. That is, let us keep our tongues from the saying of the things that our tongues are so often to say. And remember, again, our tongues are only speaking what's in our hearts. That which is in our heart, that's the fountain, and that's what the tongue is going to produce. The fountain always produces what is at the source. So it's what we think upon that determines what our tongues speak. So let us refrain our tongues from evil. Let us keep our lips from speaking deceit. That is, from lies or things that are misleading, things that lead to wrong conclusions, things that don't state the truth as it needs to be stated. Let us refrain our lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil. And while we turn away from evil, that don't leave a life that's empty. Do good. Replace that evil. You know, I'm amazed at some of the things, some of the schemes that people can come up with that are evil if they could only apply their minds and their energies to the doing of that which is good. It's untelling the things that they could accomplish. So again, turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace. We all want peace, don't we? Peace of mind. There's no price that we can put upon that. Seek peace, and not just only seek it, pursue it. It's something that we have to chase after. It's not just going to fall into our laps. It's something we're going to have to work at. Seek peace and ensue it, pursue it. But you know, if we fail to avoid sin, it's not all lost. We can still find happiness by finding forgiveness. This is exactly what David did. We used him a moment ago to show the misery and the guilt that sin brings with it. But now we see that this is exactly what David does. He sins, but yet he finds happiness by seeking forgiveness. In Psalms 51, in verse 3, he says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me." Verse 4, "Against you, you only have I sinned, and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge." And then in verse 7, look what he prays. "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, for the bones you have broken may rejoice." So yes, when we sin, we don't give up. We need to have remorse. We need to have repentance of those sins, but we don't need to give up. This is only the next step that the devil would have us to take. But instead, do as David did. Acknowledge our transgressions. There's only one way to cover sin, and that's not letting time cover it, as some people think time will cover, but it won't. Some people think that just the lapse in people's memory is all it takes to cover sin. But forgetting sin is not going to forgive sin. God will forgive sin. God will cover sin when we acknowledge our sins. And that's what David knew. "I acknowledge my sin. My sin is always before me." He says, "I have sinned." And do what David did. Realize that every sin that we commit is first and foremost against God. And ask him for forgiveness, to cleanse us, to wash us. And that we can, now that we have had the blood of Christ shed it upon the cross, the Son of God, our Savior, who came to this earth and lived a sinless life and become that one and only perfect sacrifice, that God was willing through his blood to grant unto us the forgiveness of sin. Another key to a happy new year: learn to be content. Is that sometimes the reason that we are not happy? Because we're not content? And is it because we put our trust in things that really are never going to make us content? Those that trust God learn to be content. They learn to be content with their current physical circumstances. Listen to what Paul said in Philippians 4. He said in verse 11, he says, and let's also read verse 12, not that I speak in regard to need, but I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now let's just go ahead and read verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, if we trust in God as Paul did, then these ought to be the things that we too can say in all honesty and in all sincerity, and it be the truth that we too can learn that in whatever state that we're in, to be content. And also we need, thinking about it like this, they do not desire more than or other than what they have. That's what being content is all about. The scripture teaches in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, let your conduct be without covetousness, be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we have reason to be content. And if we'll let our conduct not be based upon covetousness, not let the things that we do be motivated for the things that we can receive, generally in a temporal, physical nature, let not our way of life be with covetousness, but simply be content with such things as we have. And that is a difficult command. It may be if we lived in another part of the world, it would not be as difficult of a command because we would have far fewer things than what we have now. Maybe if we lived in another period of time, it would not be as hard to be content. But to be in the country that we live in, to be in the time now that we live in, this is an extremely difficult, hard command. But again, it's the reason why we are so disgruntled. It's the reason why we complain so much. It's the reason why that nothing rarely ever satisfies us for very long. But we need to learn in whatever state that we're in to be content. And to be like Paul, to understand that we can be content whether we are abounding or whether we are in want. Don't let the outward physical circumstances be the basis of whether or not we're going to be content. Realize that we can do all things that God has required of us to do if we're in Christ. And realize that our reward is not here, it's yet to come. And another spiritual key, keep focused on spiritual things. Earthly things, they're going to always fade away. Earthly things are going to always, as we said a moment ago, disappoint. It's in Hebrews 6 and verse 19, that very familiar statement that Jesus made, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. And he gives the reason why. In that same verse, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break through and steal. We have no certainty, no surety of the things that we have in this life. Yes, we may have them now, but that doesn't mean that we'll have them 24 hours from now, a week from now, or even a year from now. The things of this life are not ours. And so we need to understand, as Jesus says here, don't lay up for yourself treasures here on earth for these reasons. But then, of course, in the next verse, he says, but lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. And he gives us the reason again. Because in heaven, neither moth nor rust will destroy. Nor are there thieves that can steal, that can take away. I want us to read from Luke chapter 12. Excuse me. If you will, turn with me, we'll read several verses here, beginning with verse 13. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Then one from the crowd said to him, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who has made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? And he said to them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. That's why I say that one of these spiritual keys for a happy new year has to be whether or not we remain focused on things that are spiritual. We see where this man's focus was. And we see, just like we've said, concerning treasures that we laid up here on earth. Moth and rust will destroy. If thieves don't break through and steal, then it may be that we'll take leave of this life. We may become sick to where we will be totally incapacitated. And what all that we have done will belong to someone else. And that's certainly going to be the case when we depart this life. Whatever we have accomplished and whatever we have accumulated in this life, it will no longer belong to us. It will belong to someone else. So it is then. We need to keep our focus on spiritual things. Our earthly achievements and our possessions, they cannot provide lasting happiness. And we need to come and acknowledge the reality of that. The younger in our years that we come to realize that, the better off we'll be. And even though we may be later in life, surely we can see the truthfulness of that and determine that it is the emphasis that we need to have upon the spiritual and not the physical. It's like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. And the greatest of these is charity. That's the only thing that abides. And notice these three things that he mentions has nothing to do with the temple. Has nothing to do with the earthly, the fleshly. It has everything to do with the spiritual. The faith that we have that comes from the hearing of God's word. The hope that we have, which is not a hope of this life. It's the hope of eternal life. It's not the hope that we have in this physical body. It's the hope that we have in that spiritual body, that immortal body. And charity. The charity that we need to have for God, to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Those are the three things that abide. And so it is that we need to keep focused on heaven. And we do that by what's stated also in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, I believe is the verse. We walk by faith and not by sight. We need to keep focused on heaven. So, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. But what is it that captures our attention? It's the things that we're able to realize with our five senses. It is with the things that we see. But that's where we need to be focused and change that focus to the spiritual. So I would truly believe that by keeping these five keys and keep using them, it's not a matter of being aware of them, but using them appropriately, that we'll be able to open the doors to a happy 2019. If we will serve God and others, if we'll control our tempers, control our thoughts, if we'll avoid sin and guilt, if we will learn to be content, and if we keep our focus on spiritual things, that is, looking for heaven, then truly, I believe that we can have a very happy new year. We can begin that new year by being a Christian. What better way than to make our spiritual condition, our souls right with God? If you're here this day and you've not rendered obedience to the gospel, you are not a Christian. What it takes, according to God's word, to be a Christian, one who is cleansed from sin, one who is a member of the family of God, one who is saved, is through faith that comes from the hearing of his word. Because that's how faith comes, Romans 10:17, and without faith it is impossible to please God. Our faith as a Christian is not blind faith, but it is faith according to Hebrews 1 and verse 1 that is based upon evidence. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Just like what Paul talked about here a moment ago, the things that are seen are temporary. The things that are not seen, they are eternal. So our faith needs to be based upon not the things that we see, but the things that we don't see, but nevertheless, the things that we do see helps to serve as evidence. All of God's creation serves as evidence that there is a God. It's only his word that reveals unto us his will. So we're without excuse if we do not acknowledge that there is a God, because the evidence is everywhere, day and night. It speaks loudly if we'll only hear, if we'll only get our ears open and our eyes open. Then we'd be willing to repent of our sins, because that's what becoming a Christian is all about, the forgiveness of sin. But sin cannot be forgiven if it's not repented of, if it's not turned from. Like we said a moment ago, do good. Refrain from evil and do that which is good. So that's what repentance involves. And with our mouth confess that Christ is the Son of God, that he is going now to be ruler in our lives, that we will submit to his will, we will surrender our will, and be buried with him in baptism. For that's where we contact that precious blood, the blood of that Lamb that was without spot and without blemish, that hung upon the cross, took upon himself our sins. We can be free from sin. The Lord will add us to his church. If we are faithful unto death, we can be given a crown of life, as Revelation 2 and verse 10. But it's going to take faithfulness. The job isn't finished with faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. It only has begun. So let this year be a beginning of a new life, to become a Christian and live the life that God would have us to live. And if we're here and we've obeyed that gospel and we have sinned, let this be a time that we now realize that if we're not faithful in our obedience to Christ, then we can't implement these keys. We're going to have to first rid sin of our lives. And as a Christian, we do that when we, again, repent. Repentance is always the factor in everything that we do. And if we're willing to confess our faults to one to another, and we're willing to pray God, He's faithful, He's just, He'll forgive us of our sins. Let's have a happy day, a happy year, a happy life. And now is an opportunity and a time that we can do that. If the decision is yours, it's the same person that you look in the mirror at. You are the one that will be the determining factor. If you're subject and we can assist you to either of these ends, come take a seat at the front while together we stand to say.